Go ahead,
God bless
Jan.
you
God
all.
bless you.
God bless you all. So thankful for the privilege to be able to share tonight. And the topic I'm going to be sharing about is how to find rest. And just like that song was talking about how we get going in our lives and there's so many things going on sometimes, this sort of happened to me last week. And so I had to go review the topic again and say, okay, wait, stop here. Let's see. How do I find this rest again? And, of course, that led me to a very common passage that we all have heard before, but I trust that you will see a few new things about it tonight. And I'm going to be sharing from the Aramaic Peshitta translation, most of the verses. So if you don't have that, you can just listen along here. So Matthew 11, and in verse 28, Jesus is talking to his disciples and to the people around him, and he says, "Come to me, all of you who labor and bear burdens, and I will refresh you. Bear my yoke on you and learn from me that I am restful and I am meek in my heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is pleasant and my burden is light." Now there's some opposites in here. It's talking about all of you who labor, and that kind of labor is the kind of labor where you just grow weary. And you bearing burdens, some of those burdens, like King James says, heavy laden. The rules, regulations, the rhetoric going on, people complaining, just all kinds of words flying around in the air, as well as people that we know that are sick, people that have needs. Those are all burdens, and they can get really heavy at times. But the opposite is, Jesus is saying, if you're weary, I will refresh you. I will cause you to rest. I will cause you to rest. And the opposite of bearing those heavy burdens is the light burden of his yoke. So we're going to talk a little bit more about what this yoke means in a little while. But I want us to see that there's sort of a play on words with the word rest in here. I will refresh you, or I will cause you to rest. I am restful, and you will find rest. So it's all tied into looking to Jesus and how did he have rest in his life, especially during his ministry. He went from one thing to the next thing. And yet, when we read in the Gospels, we see that his life was just so focused on what his Heavenly Father told him to do and how to walk that he could walk with great rest. There's the Hebrew word for rest is pronounced nuwach, N-U-W-A-C-H, and the Aramaic word is called nak, N-A-K-H. You can actually hear our English word night in there. We get from this word nak, and there's also a German word that means night that's pronounced nacht. And so actually when we, lots of times in English, we don't go very far away from either the Hebrew or Semitic languages. This word nak can be translated relief, rest. It can even be translated silence or ease. And because it has the KH on the end of it, nak, it's a what I call a fence word. Right? The book, The Fence of Salvation, I talk about the Hebrew and Aramaic word pictures. And this letter Kath is a picture of a fence. And the idea is that God's love is his fence of protection and care. And when you go inside the fence, then you're surrounded by his love, his mercy, his compassion, All of those are fence words. And also, then, when we go inside the fence, we can rest in that love and rest in that protection. I really love that song about just breathe, because it's resting at his feet, resting like the sheep lying down in the pasture where they are comforted and at rest and have relief so they can lie down. The very first time that this word in the Hebrew is used is in Genesis 8:4, where the ark, it says it rested on the mountains of Ararat. When the water of the flood subsided, the ark ended up resting on the mountains of Ararat. In other words, it settled in a particular place. Now, the other thing about looking at Hebrew and Aramaic words is that they have actions behind them. So the action for knock is to stop something. It could be like a storm, or it could be even something as simple as you're hearing all kinds of complaining and words and words and words. You just stop listening. Stop them. You stop something. And when it's used regarding a ship or a burden, it can mean to unload. So if you stop something, the ship has a cargo in it, and in order to get that cargo off, you have to unload it. You have to stop the ship and take off the burden. So that's the first thing I wanted us to see, was that when we are burdened and we feel like we're burdened, then it's probably a particular thing that we need to do to unload that burden somehow, or to stop something. So we're going to see a little bit more about that as we go here. Now, Hebrews chapters 3 and 4 actually have 8 uses of the noun and 3 uses of this verb. So if you want to know about how to rest, you should study those chapters. And, of course, we don't have time to look at them all, but in those chapters, God uses Israel as an example of a people who had hardness of heart. When they saw all these great miracles that God did to rescue them out of Egypt, then they got in the wilderness and they started complaining and saying, well, we miss all the cucumbers that we used to have in Egypt. And they hardened their heart. And that's the reason why they didn't end up going into the promised land right away. But the opposite of hardness of heart is what it was talking about in Matthew. That is meekness. And Jesus said, learn from me that I am meek and I am restful, and then you will find rest for your souls. So this is a really big key, is meekness. And I want to read just a small section of Hebrews chapter 4 and starting in verse 8. For if Joshua, the son of Nun, had given them rest, he would not have spoken afterwards about another day. Therefore, it is established for the people of God to be given a rest. And that's a Sabbath rest. In the future, Israel is going to have a time for them to have a 1,000-year period of rest, sometimes called the millennial kingdom. But then it goes on in verse 10, says, for he who enters into his rest has also rested from his works, as God rested from his. In the beginning, in Genesis, God rested on the seventh day, remember? So it says then in verse 11, therefore, because God did that, we should be diligent to enter into that rest, so that we will not fall in the likeness of those who are not persuaded, so that we won't be like Israel was in the wilderness. We have to be diligent to enter into that rest. So that this, you know, King James says labor to enter into the rest. And you go, wait a minute, I thought resting was not going to be so hard and I shouldn't be laboring. Well, the work part of it means to just be diligent. And if you go and refer back to Matthew, the part that we do is come to me and learn. We have a part in finding rest where there's times where we need to stop something, there's times that we need to be meek, and we need to be diligent to come and learn how to do this. When we're unloading our own works, I was thinking about it in terms of we unload discouragement or weariness or things that are really pressing down upon us. It's sort of like casting your cares on him because he cares for you, or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your requests with thanksgiving to God. Well, now, what about this yoke? In the first century, there were two kinds of rabbis, the regular teachers in the synagogue and the local cities and villages. And then there were rabbis who were very seasoned and who traveled, and they gathered disciples to them so that they could teach them their understanding of the law. And the yoke was their interpretation of the law or of the Torah. So Jesus' yoke of the law, you could call it that, was light versus the scribes and the Pharisees. Theirs was heavy. That is even called a heavy burden. Now, an example of him teaching things like this and is in Matthew 22, where they question him about what he thought was the most important commandment. So I want to read verse 37. And Jesus said to him, "You should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind." That's quoted from Deuteronomy 6:5. And that was a very familiar verse to them. But then he adds this second part to it. This is, verse 38 goes, this is the great and first commandment. But the second is like it. You should love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we've heard those two verses that sum up the law, but at that time, that was an extremely avant-garde way to understand and to put those two verses together. The second part comes from Leviticus 19, which actually reads from the King James. You don't have to look at it, just listen. "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of my people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." And he takes that verse, which is just a small part of the different rules in Leviticus, and says, no, this is really important. It sums up the entire rest of the law. And I read something somebody said recently. It says, if you keep these two commandments, the rest of the law is just commentary. So he's saying my yoke of the law is easy to understand. And if you really look and follow me, then it will bring you rest because his understanding of God as his father, his understanding of not only the law, but how to love people. He showed how to love people by healing them, by comforting them, by teaching them, by so many different things. So to be a disciple of a rabbi, you gave up everything to follow him. Like when he called the different disciples to follow him, they said, yes, we want to follow you and we'll learn from you. The idea to be a disciple of a rabbi was to become like him in every single way, to do the things he did, to teach the same way, to learn from by following him. Sometimes it's called to be covered with his dust, because when the rabbi was traveling around and he had, say, 12 disciples, and there were a lot more that actually followed him, there would be a lot of dust on the road. So by the time they got to their next destination, they'd be covered with dust. But that was considered a privilege to be able to be covered with dust of a rabbi. Or sitting at his feet is another idiom way to say it. Like Mary chose the best part where he was at her house and her choice was to sit at his feet and learn from him. So in conclusion, like, what is the application to us today? What we've talked about just briefly is to unload your burden and get settled in a certain place, stop the storm, stop the complaining, be meek. And then the last part is become a disciple and walk in his footsteps. After the day of Pentecost, they had the Spirit born within them, but the disciples who had been with Jesus, they carried on what he had taught them to do. Go, cast out devils, heal people, speak my word, tell the gospel, tell them about the resurrection. And they walked in his footsteps. So we're going to end in 1 John verse 2, chapter 2, verse 6. Whoever says that he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So when we walk in Christ's footsteps, and by way of the Spirit, just like God said in the manifestations, he guides us, he will lead us, he will show us the way, we will find rest for our souls. Come unto me, all you that are who labor and bear burdens, and I will refresh you. Bear my yoke on you and learn from me that I am restful and I am meek in my heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is pleasant and my burden is light. God bless you.
All right, Jan, thank you. Appreciate it. Hey, have a word of prayer, please.
Father, thank you that we can take this exhortation to heart tonight and really do find rest. You've provided that rest for us in Christ Jesus. It belongs to us now, but we want to walk in it. We want to walk in Christ's footsteps. We want to walk by the Spirit so that we can bring deliverance not only to ourselves, but to all those who have needs around us. So, Father, thank you for keeping us to be quiet, but when it's time to speak, thank you for being able to just give us much more boldness and confidence, knowing that you are the mighty God and we can rest in that relationship that we have with you. And so I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, bless every person on this phone call and who is hearing this tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.